Well, hello and welcome back to this conversation that we are having around All Saints Sunday in this Legacy Week here at Fraser Church. And I encourage you to go back and listen to these actually in order so that you get the flow of the conversation and the stories that we are telling. And I encourage you to come out and join us this Sunday, November 2nd, at a special time at 10:24, which speaks to Hebrews 10:24 and 25, where we are going to gather as one big church to celebrate what God has done in the lives of the saints that have been a part of the Fraser family that have gone before us.
It reminds me of one of the other stories that I could tell, and that's about a fellow you've heard me tell this a couple times now, whose name was Prince Evans. He was the son of a slave, African slave. Prince was a black man growing up in Georgia, and he had a son that he named Prince Evans. His dad was named Prince Evans. Not the first, not the second. They just were all just Prince Evans. And I know this because I was curious about it, and so I tried to look him up kind of in the genealogy records to see what I could find out, if I could find any living relatives. And as far as I could see, and man, if anybody comes out of the woodwork from this, I would love it. But as far as I can see, he I think his line ended with his son, who passed away while he was still pretty young. He, mm-hmm. I think, may have been 30. Prince, the Prince I'm talking about, he, you know, really grown up in the South, as the son of a slave, I just think he had every reason to be angry at God and just sit back and sit and soak and sour and, you know, just live off in his little corner of the world and frankly be forgotten. And no one would blame him for it. But he told a story that he said one day the Holy Spirit met him on his front porch. And he said, and he put a bit in my mouth and rode me up and down that porch until I submitted to him. Mm-hmm. And he, from that moment on, he talked about it as it was a sanctifying experience for him, where he just said, I'm just following him. I'm just following God. And he was one of those people, it's like you're talking about with your granddad, who had this just, you know, a humility about him, but just radiated the presence of God. And so much so, he in his church, which was in Adrian, Georgia, they would ask him to pray almost every Sunday night. They had church on Sunday night back then. The white church met on Sunday morning, and the black church met on Sunday night. And so in this little town of Adrian, if you wanted more church, and there was basically only two churches, then and you were white, you went to the Sunday night service. That was the African-American service. And so when a couple of you know, teenage boys, white boys showed up and started attending because they had a hunger in them. Mm-hmm. And Prince started to identify in them a call in the ministry. Mm-hmm. He became a bit of a spiritual mentor to them. Mm-hmm. And there's three boys named Jack, and Billy and Mutt. he nicknamed them the Young Divines and, would, advocate for them getting an opportunity to preach. They had a marathon preaching night one night where I think all three of them preached, and he and Prince would get up and say, you know, you boys, you brought us up to the gates of heaven, and then, you know, let us on in. And it was just, you know, really talking a lot. Well, he was known for his prayers, and he would be asked to pray at the beginning of every event they would have, and they would say, Prince, why don't you pray for us? And they would hear Prince's knees hitting the wood floor and just bam. And he, at this point, was easily in his 70s. And that's, you know, what I'm talking about with this coming towards the end of his life. And he's pouring into these teenage boys and all of this. He would pray and start every prayer with, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And just keep going sometimes. But at least three, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And that had a profound impact on those three boys, one of which, Billy, is my granddad. And it's for whom I'm named, I, you know, named William, I got from him. And so I grew up hearing my whole life, my granddad start every prayer with, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. And he liked things in threes. He would just often say, bless you, bless you, bless you, and give you big pats on the back and everything. But I just think about, it's wild. I got to go to Kenya last year, and I shared this story with the folks at the Meskel's Children's Center of Hope that are there living with the kids. And I was just saying to them, you don't know the small things that you're doing that are going to have an impact for generations that are going to have ramifications on the way people see God and the way that they pray to God. And it may just be something little, like saying thank you more than three times at the beginning of a prayer. But my goodness, I mean, when I think about that, it, to me, it's a motivator, because it's saying, you know, Prince got to a place in his life where a lot of people, like I said, they could have easily written him off and said, okay, well, you just go sit off onto the side and enjoy what's left of your life the best you can. But he said, no, I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to be a blessing to these people. And he had no clue that it was going to have this lasting impact. And I think it's really cool that, you know, I told the story previously of my great-great-great-grandfather who fought in the Civil War, and then one of my other spiritual grandfathers, and so to speak, is a man who was the son of a slave. And I mean, I think it's just really cool the way God works that. And so being able to look at that, and now, you know, just this last week, Genesis, who had heard me tell this story, came up and said, hey, I'm going to start saying that thank you, thank you, thank you thing because because of this. And I just thought, you know, it's just so cool to see that those ripple effects continue to go.
Absolutely. I love that story, and it makes me think of Hebrews 11 and the power of story itself. And there's kind of, if you're going to put it in general categories, two kinds of stories taking place in Hebrews 11. We see, you know, these great people of the faith mentioned, and by faith, they did something. And then you get to the end of Hebrews 11, and it's not as glorious. It is talking about the things that God has done, but the hardship and the things that people endured. And I think the beauty of that is that God can redeem and work in anybody's story, anybody's life, no matter the situation or the circumstance. And sometimes it is miraculous. And sometimes it's not just mundane, it's even persecution and hardship. And I think the power of even the stories we've been sharing as we've gone through this, you know, the power of somebody's story is that no matter where you find yourself in life, you know, God can and is writing something. Well, thank you so much for being a part of and joining this conversation that we've been having this week. We look forward to continuing the conversation with you tomorrow.